All right, let's open our Bibles. Going back into Ephesians, we're still in that wonderful fifth chapter. And since it's been a couple weeks, God willing, I just wanted to briefly remind us that we have been encouraged in this fifth chapter to walk in love. Praise the Lord. To walk in love. And that says it all. Faith which worketh by love. The Lord is encouraging us not to be as those saints at Ephesus where they left their first love. There's something about the love of God. Matter of fact, it's all about the love of God. And the love of God working effectually in us. And again, taking us from glory to glory. Making us the people that truly are beyond anything we could have ever hoped to have been. Anything that we could ever hope to be. It's the love of God. That's what changes things. That's what changes everything. We can read this Word of God 1,000 times over. But without love, it profits nothing. We can quote scriptures. We can come to church without fail. Without the love of God, it profits nothing. I really want to emphasize that tonight, brothers and sisters. Jesus is coming. And His bride is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. She doesn't act this way one moment, and that way another moment, and this way one moment, and another way another moment. She's consistent. The consistent love of God pours through her life. And God help us to wake up to it. That He's coming. And the Father is seeking and looking for that true worshiper. That worships Him in spirit and in truth. So in that love walk, brothers and sisters, we have then been encouraged to have no fellowship. And I love this. No fellowship with darkness. The Word of God tells us to flee the very appearance of evil. See, only the grace of God can do that. We can kind of try to set out these standards, can't we? But it's the love of God again. It's His love working in us. That's the conviction that happens, isn't it? We want to go certain ways. We're in flesh. We have things that will tempt us. We understand that. God knows all about it. He allowed the perfect tempter to come. Amen. And praise God, that tempter is so stupid he doesn't realize that he's finishing some masterpieces. Amen. So know it. Don't get too bent out of shape about it. But the Lord has showed us this, that those are unfruitful works of darkness. And then, as we left off in last week, how precious. The Lord beseeching us in the 17th verse here to know His will, to understand the will of God. There isn't a day, at least one day a week, someone doesn't call and really plead, "Oh, I just wish I knew what the will of the Lord was for this, or the will of the Lord was for that." The will of the Lord is not some mysterious something of somewhere. God has specifically told us in His Word that ye may know it. That you may understand it. He told us very clearly in Timothy that He would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that. God wants that for every life. It's not a mystery, brothers and sisters. It's something that God has brought forth. But this is the very will of God that He talks about in the 17th verse that we would understand. And brothers and sisters, He's made the provision for us to know it. It is God's desire. Remember, He had to put that desire in you. But the wonderful thing about God's desire is if it is His desire, He always makes the way to make it happen in us in Christ if we will just apprehend it. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 tells us that the Lord reveals His secret to His servants and prophets. John 16:13 tells us that the Holy Ghost guides us into all truth. So God has given us every provision. He's given us every ability. He's given us every tool to grow up into Him in all things. We are lacking nothing, brothers and sisters. And I just am thankful to God that this is His desire. And then, in the 18th verse, that was really the whole key to it, is being full of the Holy Ghost. The Pentecostal power. It is the same today, just the same today. And continuing in the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, is what it's about. Continuing in the fellowship with the teacher, the revealer of all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, which you have. But you're never going to know these things, brothers and sisters. I'm never going to know these things until I settle down and be still and allow the Holy Ghost to truly fill up my life, to be full of the Holy Ghost, to be full of the love of God. Because He's the one that comes and sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. I'll guarantee you, if you're not growing in the love of God, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. It's not happening. You'll just love. Love will take all of that stuff away. It won't allow you to go play in that darkness. It'll convict you immediately. It'll say, no, that's not the way we're going. The love of God's going to take me on. Hallelujah. He draws us with His love. And here we go with the evidence. And that's in verse 19. And we'll begin reading there. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now this is a life, brothers and sisters, of continual worship with the Lord. A singer of songs. And this song is not to man. This song is not to be sung for the accolades of man. This is a song, praise God, that's to the Lord. These are the love songs. And as I was thinking of this, these are the songs that we would never sing to anybody else but our lover. And I kind of had a little bit of an example that the Lord did in my life. When I proposed to my wife, the Lord had encouraged me to write a song for that. And I sang, and I guess I caught her in the right mood, and she said yes. But there was only one time that song was ever sung. There was two people that ever heard that besides me and the Lord. And that was the young lady that was playing the violin as I sang. That song has never been sung since. God willing, that song will never be sung again. So I've done you a favor. I'm just teasing. But it actually was a pretty good song. It won the hand of my wife. All right. But where I'm going with this is it was just for her. And these are the songs that are just for Him. These aren't songs that are for anyone else. It's not to show. It's truly the songs of the heart, brothers and sisters. And it is to the Lord. Brother Copley so sweetly points out that word psalm in the Greek. It means to play on a stringed instrument. And I got to thinking about how David, he said, the psaltery and the harp. And, you know, there's a lot of people that get bent out of shape about instruments sometimes. But let me tell you something. When the Lord has it, He covets the praise of instruments. But this isn't just an instrument we're talking about here. This is talking about a hymn. And a hymn is a song of worship. And what he's getting at here, brothers and sisters, is the instruments are in these pews tonight. You're the instruments. Do you realize that? And when you receive truth and love, when you allow the grace of God to come into your life, His hand just strums across your heart. The most beautiful songs that will ever be played is what God can do in you. And that's exactly what we are. And then praise God, we're learning about this wonderful text here of us in Christ. And then He's so mightily and in His great love, He brings us together. You don't just get one instrument, you get a symphony. And praise God, we're getting in tune. I really do believe it. We're getting in tune. Till we all come is starting to happen. And I'm looking for Him by the grace of God like I've never looked for Him before. As David said, my heart pants for you. I'm delirious. Praise God. It's getting to be where we just want to be with Him. And we almost get beside ourselves, don't we? Isn't that wonderful? But that's what the love of God does. But brothers and sisters, this is a life that makes a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you know, a joyful noise can cry out in sorrow. It can cry out in joy. It can cry out a lot of different ways. But the way that you want it to cry out, and the only way it's ever going to cry out to the Lord, if He's the ones on the heartstrings. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the beautiful thing here. It's a life that rejoices in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And kind of as I mentioned a little bit earlier, and the Lord has encouraged my heart, convicting me, and I hope this convicts you, Don't just hear these words. Don't just hear the words in a Bible study or in a sermon and just go, uh-huh. Really, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Was it evident? What is evident in you? What comes out, brothers and sisters, is what's inside. Amen? Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're going to talk some evil stuff? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? God help us to wake up. God help us. Brothers and sisters, we have not fought or run as one that beats the air. There's purpose. Devil wants nothing more than to falter your last strides. Close will not get it here. There's an exact mark. It's a goal. And it must be finished with joy. And there's only one joy I know. And that's the joy of the Lord, the joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if we're full of glory by the grace of God, we're going to be full of the love of God. It's just going to be that way. And praise God, I'm encouraged to tell you, give it up now. Get over it now. His bride is altogether lovely. We're going to read a little bit later on, she's so lovely, she's without spot or wrinkle. There's nothing out of place. We're talking perfect symmetry. You talk about something that's just singing in motion. She's got rhythm just as she's walking in front of him. He's awestruck. He really is, brothers and sisters. The Word of God tells us she's pure glory. Matter of fact, she's His glory. And I guess I'll say it this way. She doesn't have one bit of ugly. She doesn't. Her countenance is comely. Go read the Song of Solomon in that second chapter. Basically what that says is she's nothing but gorgeous to God. Hey, for somebody to say, honey, it's all yours. Something had to happen. Something had to happen. So praise be to God. May He get a hold of us that way. And then you think about the title of those songs. The Songs of the Heart. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the title of every one of those songs that you sing unto the Lord. It's songs of thanksgiving and praise. In all things, brothers and sisters, thanksgiving and praise is the evidence of great love and faith. This is the vessel that grace transforms into content in whatsoever state I am in. Huh? Amen. You know that He's working it together for your good, don't you? There's no guessing here. When you're in love with Him and you're thanking God for it, you know that He is in charge of this. This is a heart that receives the instruction to know how to be abased and how to abound everywhere and in all things. God was even teaching me that when I went back to get that airplane the second time. I don't know if you know what happened the first time. I had flown out there to Kansas City. And there's a little airstrip out there I always go to. It's a little army base and it's right there, so convenient. The man said, oh, we have a hangar for you, so it won't be a problem. The snow won't bother you. Well, as I was telling the brothers, I got out there, and if I would have taken just about 3 feet off of the tail, I could have fed it in the hangar. It wasn't going to fit in there. And here came the snow right after we landed, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, this is about as cold as I've ever seen. That snow ain't ever going to melt. Well, a few days later, we were getting ready to come back home. And it wasn't the snow on the plane that was the concern. They didn't plow this runway because a general wasn't coming in. And can you imagine, they didn't think that I was important enough to shovel that runway. So there I was, and I had to get back and had to take commercial on home. So there I am thinking, oh Lord, what is going on here? But at the same time, He was encouraging my heart, son, it's all good. It's all good. I order your steps. I even order your flights. How's that? So that was good. But then I had to go back and get it, and all that weather was just perfect and fine and all of these different things. But they had a little freak rainstorm that came through right before I got there, followed by a cold front that just happened to finger in there, and it froze all that water right back on my plane. So I honestly got from that airport. A man drove me out there. I go out, and my plane looks like a big icicle. If you know anything about them, you don't fly them that way. And they didn't have any de-icing things. So then I just sat there and I smiled and I thought, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? Whatever you want to do. If you want me out here in Kansas City, that's fine. I was a little bit upset with the man, and I was thinking, well, I'm going to have a prison ministry here because I'm going to be at Fort Leavenworth Prison if I don't get out of here soon. So there were a lot of thoughts that were flashing through my mind, I want you to know. But God settled me down, and we had a good laugh. And then there was this retired Air Force man that happened to pick me up at the airport. And he said, you know what, I know these guys down at this hangar down the runway here, and it's a military hangar, and you can't get your plane in there. But he said, I think I can get us in. And lo and behold, he got us in there, and about an hour later after that ice melt, I was flying home. So, where I'm going with this, brothers and sisters, is he said, everywhere and in all things. We're not to pick and choose what we're going to be thankful for. That's not the bride. Now that's most Christians. They're going to be thankful for things that appear good to the eye. And anything that to the eye that seems negative or a discouragement, we're not going to be thankful in. The bride knows the plan of God. The bride knows the purpose. The bride knows that when we suffer for Christ's sake, happy are ye. Praise God. Know it, brothers and sisters. And see, this is what we know, not because we have just heard it, but because the Spirit has revealed it unto us. Amen. And I believe that there's lives that are living this, and I'm thankful to God. And there isn't a greater gift, brothers and sisters, that we could give one another than truly suffering for Christ's sake and being happy in it. And even encouraged when these things come, could you imagine? We'll have to have that group start sitting somewhere down over here so we can look at them. I'm just teasing. But just as Brother Paul, he said, I'm thankful for this. These are the things I want in my life because the very power of Christ rests upon me. Amen. Do you see why he says that? Do you really understand why he says that? Because there's no way you could have done it. See, that's when he shows himself mighty. He brings you to a place that is so far beyond you. And it really is that, call it surreal, out of body, whatever you want to say, where you're looking at that person, that you know you live inside that person, but you're saying, that isn't me. How could that person be doing that? That's the new man. That's the new man yielding to the grace of God. And you know what? Love happens. Love changes everything. And love has changed every one of us, brothers and sisters. And love is changing us from glory to glory. And that's the wonderful thing about it. But brothers and sisters, this is the contentment of a wife and her husband. We're about there. We're getting to this point. But this is the contentment of a wife and her husband. We've all seen wives, and I don't mean to pick on the ladies, because I hope you understand this is referring to us in Christ. So guys, you're right there too. But I'll use this example. We've all seen wives that seem only to be content when they're showered with things. Now come on. There's wives that it has to be my way. Sometimes we say spoiled. And they're painful to watch. It's painful. But then there's the wife that is just satisfied because he is her husband. Amen? Amen. That's when I knew my wife loved me. I told you when I went to bring her into our new rental home and I had the mix and match furniture. There wasn't one piece that would have color coordinated with anything. And all she could do was chuckle and then hug me and tell me she loved me. So it wasn't a palace. It was 600 feet of eclectic horror. So, all right. But this is who the Father is looking for His Son. And faith causes this thanks, brothers and sisters. Do you know that? Believing the Word of God causes us to thank the Lord. But how do we believe the Word of God? Faith which worketh by love. We needing to know that He loves us so. When we know that Jesus loves us, and really accept it and believe it in all things and in every instance and every circumstance, we'll believe the Word of God. And when we believe the Word of God, it's so wonderful. We're thankful. We're thankful. And we're thankful in all things. And that's how that works. It transforms a life into Romans 8:28. It also knows that her love withholds no good thing from her. Proverbs 12:21 says, "There shall no evil happen to the just." Are you just? You know it, you're just. If you're a child of the King, you are just. Don't be sheepish in that. And let me tell you something. We know that we're just, and in Proverbs 12:21 it says, "There shall no evil happen to the just." They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't think, oh, this evil thing which has befallen me. If God be for me, who could be against me? This is faith, brothers and sisters. This is exactly the place that she takes. She is just covered with that wondrous blood, and the grace of God just flows and flows and flows in this life. "It is well" is written all over her. "Thy will be done, Lord," is the banner of love that she rests in. "I will perfect that which concerns you" is a promise to her heart that is so personal that it comforts her all the way along. Do you believe that He'll perfect that which concerns you? Or was that just for somebody that was else that was reading there in the psalm? It's yours, brothers and sisters. It is. It's ours. It's ours in Christ. So in that, Christ is preparing us now for the pinnacle, really, of everything Ephesians is about. We're going to step into this. This is the mountaintop. This is the union of Christ and His bride. And let's go ahead and read verses 21 through 33. Time's going to catch me here, and I'm just going to go as quickly as He wants. I'm not going to try to press this. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church." Man, that excites me. "Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body," not a church, not of anything else. "We are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now this is some awesome stuff. I mean, you talk about principles and the height of glory all in one, and it's wonderful. Now on the surface as we read this, and I will touch on this right now, this is good for a natural marriage. We need to pay attention to this, husbands, and we need to pay attention to this, wives. This is the greatest advice you could ever have for your marriage. This is the formula for a marriage that if we'll follow it, it'll give you a marriage beyond your wildest dreams. It really will. This is what God intended for a man and for a woman. He says it there in verse 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Love and respect. There's a book they've written on this thing, and on these things, I should say, and I think there's some good things in there, but I wouldn't get too carried away with reading a book. I'd always encourage you to read the Word of God. I'm thankful that they'll reference many of the things in there. But what it's saying here is women want to be loved and men want to be revered. And that's just how it works, brothers and sisters. That's God's made us that way. And I pray that we take it to heart, because I really do believe it's a key to a blissful marriage. See, a lot of times we try to change things. We get Dr. Spocks and all of these different doctors and things that are trying to give us their own advice and philosophies on how to raise children and how to have a lasting marriage. And isn't it amazing that now we're getting towards 60% of marriages now that are ending in divorce. And my goodness, the children, it's coming up to a generation God's going to have to destroy. Yeah, I think it is here. Like I say, God help us. But we're going to rejoice, brothers and sisters, that this is talking about Christ and the church. And as you go back to verse 21, and I pray it just starts to shoot chills up and down your spine. If this is concerning Christ and the church, and Christ and His bride specifically, listen to those words. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now this is Christ and His bride. I mean, you know, this is a relationship that's beyond anything that we could ever ask or think. This is so beyond that Jesus Christ, He wants an equal. He does. Christ Jesus wants a bride. Christ Jesus desires a fully grown Shulamite, as in the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon tells us that she's got a little sister, but the little sister is not ready for intimate fellowship, brothers and sisters. And then there are many virgins, but thou excellest them all. But you think about this and you say, well, why not? Isn't that really what a marriage is about, even in the natural? Do you marry someone to just reign over them? I know there's some people that do that. That's not a marriage. For somebody to be a servant to the other one, that's not a marriage. Uh-uh. Someone that you're equal. Someone that you share everything with. Someone that you can talk to, fellowship with. Sing psalms and spiritual hymns with. Huh? Amen. That's what He's looking for. And praise be to God, that's what He's going to have. He doesn't want a slave to marry. He desires a queen, brothers and sisters, that will rule and reign jointly with Him. He is her head, but she is His glory. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. She pays Him reverence, and at the same time, she is His glory. He's absolutely 100% head over heels with her. It's the beauty of the relationship. Ahasuerus offered to share all of it with Esther. And I want us to turn over to Revelation chapter 3. And we'll read together. Very familiar portion of Scripture. And I am so grateful to God that this is a familiar portion of Scripture to this meeting. I think about how many people try to avoid Revelation, or they don't study Revelation, or even think that Revelation is for another day in the future, that God will reveal something out of it. No, it's for right now. It's the Word of God. And He wants us to rightfully divide the truth. And again, the Spirit does give that ability. But in the third chapter, starting from the seventh verse, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shuts, and shuts, and no man opens. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." Do you realize that door is just about ready to open? Praise be to God. That's the door of heaven. And that door is before every believer. God wants this for every believer, brothers and sisters. He wants this course finished with joy. He wants us jumping through that open door as we ascend to meet Him in the air. "And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength." Now listen to this. "And hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Or as it says there in the Schofield, I will keep thee from the tribulation. This bride, this loved one, doesn't go into this. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now this is her, brothers and sisters. She kept his name as the faithful wife. See, even in this day and age, and I'm not trying to step on toes. Whatever's your business is your business. But even, see, the world speaks of these things. It used to be an honor for a woman to take a man's name. And now people get together and they don't take anything. They don't. Let's just call it what it is. But this is a type of the bride, brothers and sisters. She glories in taking his name. There's nothing more precious to her than his name. And I'm thankful that I lived under a house where my mother, she loved my dad's name. She really would glory in his name. She'd say, look at all those vowels in that name. Isn't that beautiful? It's the most beautiful name I've ever seen. And I hope you feel that way with your name too. But those things spoke to me that my mother loved her husband's name. It was written all over her. She was Mrs. John and is Mrs. John Odorsio. Now who are we? Oh my goodness. You kind of get a glimpse of what he's our identity, isn't he? Yeah, it's all in him. Let's quit trying to fight. You can't make it better. You can't. You can't get more out of it. You've got it all. I always appreciated my uncle when he said, oh, quit being like silly Jacob there trying to wrestle with the Lord when he's already given you something better. You know? Think about it. But brothers and sisters, this is something here. She kept his name as the faithful wife. She kept the word and patiently waited for his return. I always remember my grandmother. She had some great advice. This is my grandmother, Odorsio. And she would talk to us boys as we were growing. She said, now don't let these women hurry you up. Well, what do you mean, Grandma? I mean hurrying you up down that altar. Now, when you really find one that really will love you, she'll wait. If she keeps pressing you and all, and she's going to threaten to you that she won't wait, then she really doesn't love you. Boy, I don't know. Maybe I should keep some of these opinions to myself. But all I know is I'm reading about a lady that said that she's kept the word of his patience. She patiently waits. Oh, let me tell you something. She's anxious in the right way for him to come. Even so, come Lord Jesus is written all over her. But she patiently waits. She occupies. Yep. That's who she is. She's betrothed to one husband and treasures the crown. The crown's the engagement ring. Honey, I'm coming back. Just hold it fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Do you wear that ring? Proudly of Jesus Christ. Not proud of yourself, but of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And she is delivered out from before the tribulation ever even kicks off. Psalm 22:20, his darling delivered from the dog. I like that. And when they are united, oh my goodness, they're going to come down and worship. That means they're going to pay homage to her. They're going to give her reverence. She's God's glory. She's his glory. My goodness. Revelation 21, she descends from heaven having the glory of God. Huh? What's that say there in 21:23? And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Isn't that amazing? She's the light of His life. And He's the light of her life. And they just kind of light each other off, don't they? Praise the Lord. Now, as we go on here, let's realize what it's saying as we go back into Ephesians 5. She submits first, doesn't she? Do you see that? This is really interesting. She submits first, and then it's talking about His love after that. Now, I believe that's so important here, because right there you know that He couldn't be speaking of the entire church. Couldn't be. Doesn't happen that way. Christ already loves His children. Amen. You can't be separated from the love of God. There is nothing that those children need to do to gain the love of God. He just loves them. They can't be separated from it. So this love must be something more sacred, different, divine. And it is, because it's the bridal love. This is the goodly pearl, brothers and sisters, that is being sought after. And what makes her goodly? What makes her attractive to His eyes? What makes her downright ravishing to His heart? It's because she submits. That's it. She just submits. She goes in and she uncovers His feet and lies there. Isn't that something? Think of that. That sweet story with Mary, you know. She just was at His feet. All those busy ones running around doing a lot of great things. But she's got the better part. Don't bother her. Don't you dare disturb her. That's my darling there. Huh? And just like Ruth, as I mentioned just a moment ago, uncovering the feet. There she was. She did all of those things. The working in the field, the gleaning, all of those things. But when it came right down to winning the heart, you go in there, you uncover the feet, and you just lay there. You submit. You completely cast yourself right there. And you know what? He's smitten. He can't help it. He's ravished. And praise be to God, this is where He's calling us. He just loves her, brothers and sisters. The submissive heart gets Him every single time. And He loves her as a wife. And it tells us there in 22 through 24 that she's only got one husband. She only has one head. She's a chaste virgin to Him alone. She entertains no other. She rests in that she is His glory. That's enough for her. Is that enough for you? Is it enough for you that God is offering you to take the place of His very glory? Isn't that something? Oh my goodness, brothers and sisters. I pray we wake up to this. Only the grace of God could do this in our lives. She doesn't need any other validation. She is satisfied with Jesus alone. He is the head. He is the head and she is His glory. And they take their place and are completely assured of their love one for another. Isn't that wonderful? They're just assured of the love one for another. They're confident in the love one for another. The reason I'm confident in the love that I have for my Lord is because I know it's His love. I know it's the grace of God. I know that it's His very desire for me to love Him. So again, if it's God's desire, He will fully enable. If it's God's desire for me to believe Him, He will fully enable. If I don't have the faith for something, I need to get down on my knees and say, Lord, Your grace causes me to know that You've caused me to believe You. And Your love will take care of this. And I'll guarantee you, you'll believe Him for it. Absolutely. I believe it because this is the Word of God, brothers and sisters. It's what God wants. And if we'll just open up to what God wants, He'll bring it forth in our lives. And then in verse 24, He tells us that now she is not only submitting to Him, but it emphasizes it again that it's to their own husbands. See, that's a big thing, brothers and sisters. She tends upon the things of the Lord without distraction. She doesn't try to serve two masters. It just doesn't happen. You can't do that by the grace of God if this is where it's going to be. That conviction of heart makes you want to just be with Him. But here it is. But it's in everything now. See, this is the bridal sanctification, brothers and sisters. This is completely being set apart to God. Not even looking back. Satisfied again with Him alone. She's not moved to the right or to the left. She is not tossed to and fro. She is not up one day and down the next. This is a tempered vessel, consistent in love, faith, and testimony. And that's the truth. Amen. 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 See, I pray God encourages us because, see, this is how we know that the love of God is growing in our lives. We become more peaceful. We become more loving. We become more tender. We become more patient. I was sharing that with a brother and he was laughing at me. And I said, oh, I know it's happening in you. You can't deny it. It's just too good. And I'm so thankful to God He makes us realize that it is too good. But see, she operates, brothers and sisters, in singleness of heart. She completely is selfless. Her thoughts are totally captivated by Him. Her mind is stayed upon Him. And she receives a continual flow of His grace and mercy. Yeah. And where does that happen? Coming boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah. She's changed by the Spirit of the Lord from glory to glory into His same likeness, His image. But see, this isn't a physical thing. Someday. Someday. This isn't physical it's talking about. This is the mind. This is what's being renewed right now. This is what's being changed. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And it's His mind. And she allows it to rule and to reign in her. And remember how we started this, really even asking for prayer. If you be otherwise minded, He'll even make that known unto you. Brothers and sisters, if you're confused about something, ask Him. He's not the author of confusion. He's not. Seek Him. He said, you'll find it. Amen. Knock. It'll be open to you. Come on now. He'll answer you. Praise be to God, brothers and sisters. He's for you. He wants this in our lives. This is what's so beautiful about this. All these things we talk about tonight, if you just spoke this to people that, you know, love the Lord, but not necessarily have been introduced to the depths of the Word of God, they'd look at you like you're half-cocked or crazy. That could never happen. Well, I think we read about a sister on Sunday. Blessed is she that believed. And all those things that were told, praise God, He brought them to pass in her life, didn't He? And why? Because she believed Him. And it's never changed. And obviously, as we know, what a great miracle that was, that she could be with child, and not just with any child, with the Son of God. Never knowing a man. Can you imagine that? But we're talking about something of Christ in me and Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. It's glory's hope. It's the plan of God before the foundation of the earth. Us in Christ, brothers and sisters, that we would grow up into Him in all things in this. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.